This will be Ms. Tina H. from Live and Kick.
Hi, family. My name is Tina. I'm a grateful blessed recovering addict. And I want to first of all say welcome to your newcomers. Thank you to my predecessors for paving the way for me. For that, I'm truly grateful. And I thought our topic was something else, but it still all comes and ties in together. It comes out of our guiding principles on page 89, fifth paragraph. It says a group can be diverted from our primary purpose by a variety of things. It can be more invested in its social life than in the message. It can get bogged down in controversy or in a business. It can allow ego, power, or personalities to become more important than the message. There is a simple way to recognize when a meeting stops serving its purpose. Addicts stop coming back. Okay? And I'm gonna stop right there for now. And I'm sure anybody that goes to my home group can identify with what I just read, because we're experiencing that, and I'm sure that a lot of groups are experiencing it. When the addicts stop coming back, and for a variety of reasons, like it talked about, whether it's everybody at the game room, or everybody at the house playing cards and dominoes, or, you know, just having families with their sponsees and sponsors, and, you know, and I can identify with the family, with the sponsees and the sponsor, you know, meeting with me and my sponsees, and not being at the meeting where the newcomer is, not being there to carry the message to the newcomer. Because our primary purpose is to carry the message. The message is that an addict, any addict, you know, can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. And if nobody's there to say that, then how are they going to know that? And I'm so grateful that when I got clean, that there was somebody there saying that, that message was being carried. And I remember early on in my recovery, there were certain people that were in place when I got there that had the doors open, that were there sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And when I got clean, the stuff that they were sharing, I was like blown out the water, because I just could not believe that people were sitting in a room full of people that they didn't know, and they were saying stuff that I had never really heard, because I'm a country girl, so a lot of that stuff was like over my head. But I was tuned in. It kept me coming back because they were being so honest. And that was the stuff that kept me coming back, was the honesty. Because it tells us in our literature that honest sharing is the antidote to disease thinking. And so they were in there sharing honestly about their lives and about where they had come from and the things they had gone through and what kept them there at the meetings. And when I think about... the lady that shared earlier, just now, the 8 o'clock speaker, when she talked about being on a pedestal, you know, recovering for me, and I'm just sharing my experience, my strength, and my hope, that's all I got. Recovery for me has changed, like, drastically over the last 25 years. You know, when I got clean, we had this certain level of respect for the more experienced member, for the old timer. We just had it. I mean, it was like we know we were being spoon fed. They were feeding us. You know what I'm saying? And we respected that to the utmost. And I didn't know them. I didn't know the Gail P's. I didn't know the Rollin J's. I didn't know any of these people, you know what I'm saying? And they were in the meetings and they were spoon-feeding us this recovery at whatever cost it took. Like being vulnerable, like telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, they were saying simple cliches that mean so much today to me that don't mean nothing to a lot of people. It's just cliches. You know, that's just what they say at the meeting. You know, and that was the stuff that kept me clean. That was the stuff that kept me coming back. And It talks about, here it says that, that just because I'm in with a certain group of people, that's, you know, in the basic text, doesn't equal recovery. How do you say? Right. Social acceptability does not equal recovery. And that's what this is basically saying. Mm-hmm. That we've gotten away from the recovery process because we're so busy trying to one more time, fit in, fit somewhere that I already fit. I fit in Narcotics Anonymous. I found that out when I got here. It took me a minute. You know what I'm saying? I remember sitting on the back rows trying to disqualify myself, looking at all the differences and similarities. I remember, like, listening to people share and saying, something wrong with them. I couldn't see something wrong with me. They crazy. You do that and keep using? Uh-uh. But that was their story, but that was the stuff that captivated me. And it was the stuff that they talked about when I started to home in on that they may have done it different, but they did it the same, just like me. Just like it talks about in the literature and who's an addict, in the literature and who's an addict, you know, chasing it one pill at a time, one hit at a time, whatever. We all chase the same way. It was all about that high, you know, and then coming into the room of Narcotics Anonymous and being around some people that were just like me, that are still just like me, because I have a disease that wants to separate me from y'all. It wants to tell me that I can't come in here and tell y'all the truth about nothing no more, because y'all gonna judge me. You know what I'm saying? And so I tiptoe around what I say, you know, and just share just enough to get by that day. You know what I find really interesting? I don't know if anybody else finds this interesting, that every day when you go in the Just for the Day meeting, the same people are on the Just for the Day. I'm like, damn, how did that book wrote that perfect to, because people are scared to share their real truths. So let me just stay on the Just for the Day so that I can sound profound. So I can help the newcomer. You know, the same stuff that the lady just talked about, but I'm dying, because I'm trying to help the newcomer. You know, and it talks about it here, it says, there's a simple way to know whether or not the meeting's working is when people stop coming. And so we have meetings every day at my home group. And if you show up every day, you're probably going to be disappointed 5 days out of that every day. You know, we don't have night meetings like we used to, so it's catered to the non-working. I'm just, hey, because I work during the daytime, so I can't come to a 12 o'clock meeting and keep my job. You know what I'm saying? So I need to be able to go to a night meeting. But then if there's only a handful at the night meeting, that meeting's not working. Well, when I got clean, they said it only took two to have a meeting.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. So now it take a whole room full because we need to pay the lights. But it says we're fully self-supporting through our own contributions. So if I'm passing the basket and there's six of us in there, we just contribute to our own contributions. That's all we got for right then, you know? And so there are a lot of people that are suffering because they don't have anywhere to go to meetings at. How do you live in Houston and you can't go to your own home group at the end of the day? Something wrong with that picture, you know? And I don't like competition. I used to think I did, but I don't. So I don't want to go to a 12 o'clock meeting and be in competition. Who's going to outshare who? Who can be the most profound? You know, who's going to say the most profound shit? You know, who's going to, you know, articulate the best? It's just such a competition. You know, and lives are being lost. Lives are being lost because we're in competition with each other again. The same stuff that ran us up in here is running us out. The same kind of competition. You know, I was thinking about this topic and I kept thinking about it and I prayed about it and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm asking my higher power, like I really need to be able to be honest, you know, and I felt like, you know, I don't know if you've ever spoke before, but sometimes when you speak, it seems like they've even picked out a topic just to fuck with you on. You know what I'm saying? Like, where you been? Well, see, what had happened was, you know, because I took a position in my home group And it's over. Let me say that. It's over. It's really over. You know what I'm saying? Like, not that the position is over, but the emotional roller coaster that I endured in taking that position. Because I was popular. Because I didn't click, I talked to everybody. And so I thought that because I talked to everybody, that they wouldn't do me a certain type of way. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I really thought, y'all. I really thought that when I took this position, that because of the respect that I felt like people had gained for me over the years of being in this program, that counted for something. Because remember I said when we got here, our predecessors meant something to us. And we trusted them. So if you could help me when my ass was falling off, what makes you think that now all of a sudden that I have a service position, that I'm finna steal a group's money, I'm finna manipulate this here group rule, I'm finna this? What makes you think all that's finna happen? How did my integrity all of a sudden change because I took this position? But I had integrity before I got this position. And so I got wounded because I thought they wouldn't do it to me. I really did. And it took my sponsor, thank God for sponsorship. Because she really had to help me to understand, you know, because I really thought that they wouldn't do it to me, you know, because of who I am, you know. And it hurt my feelings. It hurt my feelings. And so, you know, what do you do when all your little friends don't want to play the way you want to play? You take your damn marbles and you go home and you play by yourself and you always stay in the circle and you always win. You know what I'm saying? You'll never lose. You always win, you know? And you ain't got nobody to argue with. So I took my marbles and I went home. And I've been sitting at home while everybody else keep recovering. And I call my sponsor and I meet once a month with my sponsees. And so I'm recovering, you know? That's what the disease will tell you. Because the disease's job is to separate you from your help by any means necessary. You know, and it don't care how it has to go about doing it. And of course, just like when I was new in the program, you know, like when you were sitting in the meeting, the Friday night meeting, and your flavor walked in. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, you knew it was your flavor, you'd be like, You just stopped. You don't even know what they talking about no more in the meeting. Yeah. You over here. I can't wait till the dance start. I'm going to dance with him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what my focus is. And so now, because I'm in the meeting, I'm trying to do what I believe is the next right thing concerning my home group. But when I look at my truth, my primary focus has been diverted. You know? Because regardless to whether they played the way I wanted them to play or not, it still needed to be about helping the newcomer, carrying the message, you know, showing up when nobody else showed up, doing all those things that keeps our meeting thriving. Those are the things that it takes to keep the meeting alive, you know. And it's hard. I'm going to say it like this. Y'all make it hard, and I'm saying y'all because it's a weed program, make it hard to, like, for real, to recover sometimes. We do that to each other. We make it hard to recover, being judgmental. My thinking, if you come tell me, Mike, she this, she that, she this, she that, my mind say, well, if he telling me that about her, what is he telling her about me? So he talking about, you know, so that shuts me down. You know what I'm saying? And my recovery stops once again. So I'm in trouble again. You know what I'm saying? I'm in trouble all over again in this process because of the simple fact that I'm not able to be honest in the meetings anymore because I'm afraid of what you all are going to think, what you all are going to say, and dying. Sitting in the meeting, dying, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know about y'all, but it's still important to me to be able to go to the meeting and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's still important to me. And so in family, let me back up and tell y'all a little bit about family for me. And this is my truth, and I got some sponsees in here. I don't feel comfortable in there sometimes, telling my truth. Because there's a couple people with as much clean time as I do, but I'm the one up here. You understand? I'm the one on the pedestal. I'm the one that's got to have the right answers and say the right shit and have the right spiritual shit come out my mouth. And don't let me start cussing, you know, because I don't do that. You know, but I need to be able to do that to be able to help lift up some other people. Yeah. And by no means do my sponsees, I don't think, but part of me do, let me make it. I do believe that they let me make it. Because just like the lady talked about, who's gonna call me on my, you gonna tell me? You know what I'm saying? So the struggle is there and it's real, you know? And so even in family, being there in that room, knowing that I'm the person with the time and the one that's taking people through their steps and having to hold this certain level of integrity, and I ain't gonna say a certain level, having to hold integrity, because that's like so vitally important, not only in a family setting, but even in the meeting, you know, when it talks about anonymity, to be able to come in there, share whatever you need to share. And I've been in rooms with people where they, well, such and such was in the meeting and they said such and such and such, and I'm going, you're not supposed to do that. But I don't say that. I don't say that, not because I'm so interested in what they're saying, just that I ain't got enough in me to say, you ain't supposed to do that. So I let your ass make it when I know it's not the right thing. You know, and that's the stuff that stops people from feeling that the environment is safe to come and share and come in and be in there and know that what you're gonna give me is gonna be genuine. It starts to feel really watered down and artificial. And that's the shit that's killing us. The artificialness. Yeah. You know, I can't tell you the whole truth, Daryl, because you're going to get mad at me. I don't give a damn. Right. Get mad. You know? But we have a certain level of responsibility to each other to tell each other the truth, regardless of who gets mad about what. But the other thing is that my truth don't have to be your truth. Everybody have their own process. And so if I can learn how to respect other people's process, you don't have to be where I'm at. So, okay, if you choose to go to the gambling boat, that's your choice. That ain't got nothing to do with me. I don't need to sit up and judge that against my recovery. Well, I don't do that. But I do some other stuff. I just ain't telling y'all. I do some other stuff that I ain't proud of. Still, like 2 days, she said, can I get 2 days? Can I get 2 days off of changing the price tag? Can I get 2 days? Can I get there? Like that's a struggle for me. My mind tell me all kind of crazy shit, so I can't come in there and say, I be up in that store, you know, switching them price tags on any given day. Hell, my husband probably don't even know that. He do now, right? But that's my struggle. That's my process. You know what I'm saying? Because for real, look, for real, you don't know where I came from to switching the price tag to putting that whole damn thing in my purse. Forget the price tag.
It's progress.
Hello? So, but if I come in there and I'm struggling to say that, that's the shit that'll make me sleep. And what it say? I'm sick as my secrets. Yes. So if I can't come in there and still tell y'all at 25, 20, whatever, 20 days, 20, whatever, this is my struggle, then how am I going to ever get better? I'm going to stay sick. I'm going to stay sick because I feel judged. And the literature says we don't have room to judge. That's not literature. I ain't make that up. We don't have room to judge. How quick we forget I'm an ex-prostitute, or I'm an ex-thief, or I'm an ex-liar, I'm an ex-con, I'm an ex-ex-ex-ex-ex. All these exes, and everybody's scared to tell the truth now. What kind of shit is this? You know, and so, yeah. The primary purpose does get lost. Because you're so busy trying to make sure you're taking care of the newcomer and you dying as an older member or as a middle time member or whatever, you know, everybody got their process. And I'm grateful that my sponsor helps me to remember that we're in a process, regardless of what it is, who you are. You know, everybody has a process. So what, you don't sleep with a married man, or you're not, you know, hooking up with old what's her name, you know, picking up that girl on the corner. So what if you're not doing that? But what are you doing? Are you talking about that? Because my story was my story when I got here, and there were some things that were glaring that I need to get to work on real fast, and I need to talk about it. And so I came in there telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so it really didn't matter, because y'all was just trying to help me. And I was welcoming the help. But now I got a disease that's done boxed me off in this corner and say, don't tell them that. They ain't gonna do them to talk about you. Well, hell, y'all might have been talking about me when I came in there and told y'all shit early on. But I ain't care. Now all of a sudden, because like, got a house, got a good job, you know, got a husband, you know, got, now all this stuff is so, it takes over everything that I need to really be focusing on, you know, trying to be the other. Help that addict that came in behind me that's suffering with that same stuff. That stuff, that something that the flat book talks about. That something is still here. It didn't leave because you get a little time. There's still that something that somebody still needs to try to get better in. And if I don't feel free, then I'm not going to get better. Better yet, I'm not going to even come. I'm not going to come. I'm going to stop showing up. What I'm coming for. The primary purpose is lost. It's lost. All that's lost. I was sitting in that countdown just a little while ago, and like I said, things have really changed because everything is so fast now. I'll give you an example. When we close out the circle at the end of the meeting, it says, let's take a moment. It didn't say a second. It said a moment of silence. And we say, God. As soon as our head drop, God. And if you don't say it fast enough, somebody else will say it for you. I'm telling you. Because everything is so fast. I got to get it done. I need to do this right now. I don't have time to pray for the still suffering addict. Who has time to do that? I thank my high power that somebody had time to do it for me. I'm so grateful for that moment of silence for the addict that was still suffering when it was me. And I trip every time they do it. I be like, that was not a moment. That wasn't even a good second. And that stuff mattered. It made all the difference in the world. I just truly believe that it matters that we take out that moment, not that half a second, because we don't even get a second in. You know, and so, again, yeah, we lose focus of what we're supposed to really be doing, what this is all about. It's not about the dress up for the conventions. It's not about the dress ups for the anniversaries and the, who's going to hold the committee positions and who gets to keep the money and who gets to say who's got the money and how much of the money is you taking. And I done worked a bunch of steps. And if I tell y'all one thing that irks me more than anything, is that I've worked a bunch of steps so that I don't take the group's money, that I am responsible, and I am trustworthy. I worked a bunch of steps to be able to say that and know that that's my truth today. And then for other people, because I decided to take a position to try to help the group, and I'm not even talking about the position I took. I'm just saying overall, anybody that holds a position, to now all of a sudden getting your integrity tore down by the group because you're trying to help the group. And the very ones that's tearing it down aren't even the ones that are showing up for the fight. They just show up long enough to fight you, the person. That's it. You know? And so, I don't know. My time almost up, so I'm going to read this and then I'm going to let you. Okay, so it says, magic happens in NA meetings. We have the music of the message, even when we don't understand the language in which it is shared. Our group hosts meetings and sometimes events, but more than that, they become communities themselves. The bond we share with our fellow group members can be deep and loving, grow over years into something a lot like family. And that's what NA is to me. That's what y'all are to me. Not just me and my sponsees, but the people in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. As I grew up in this program, 28 years old coming in here, and I'm not going to say how old I am now, but I got 25 years. You do the math. But growing up in here, I got a mama, I got a great-grandmama, I got a, you know, I got family in here. Because I remember when I got here, when my family didn't want me around, they couldn't stop clutching their purses. You know what I'm saying? And the day they done loosed the grip, and now I don't want to fool with y'all no more. The very people that helped save my life, you know? And so I just know it's really important that we as a whole continue to keep showing up. If not for myself, show up for the newcomer. Show up on birthday night so that they can see that it really does work. Because those were the things that gave me hope when I went to the birthday celebrations and they were sharing, oh, I got 2 years and I got 5 years and I got, that was like a wow. And don't leave out the fact that I didn't ever think I could ever sit at the same table with those people. And today I do, because of Narcotics Anonymous, because they keep coming back. You know, so if anybody's newer than myself, man, look, if you don't have a sponsor, get you a sponsor. Get with your sponsor and work the steps. And just don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle happens, because it's gonna happen. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah.
Help me to thank Tina for sharing her experience, strength, and hope with us. Our next speaker is going to be Mike.
Hey, yes. Mike. I'm Agnew Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God for sponsorship. Thank you, Tina, for sharing. I want to thank HACNA for inviting us to share. And it's always an honor and a privilege whenever I'm asked to be of service in Narcotics Anonymous. And I was sitting here thinking, like the group's primary purpose and what has to happen and all the suggestions I have to take in order for me to get what's going on in Narcotics Anonymous, right? And the part that stood out to me was popularity is not the measure of spiritual health. Right, and Tina hit on it, like social acceptability does not equal recovery, but something has happened. When I got here, a lot of my predecessors. Let me tell you where I come from. My home group is the Hope Group of Narcotics Anonymous. We meet at 2425 South 7th Street, Abilene, Texas. We meet at noon and 8 o'clock. Right, and I've been very fortunate or spoiled. When it comes to like the message being carried, there's never been no undertone in my home group, right? I was sitting at Miracles and Solutions a couple weeks ago at their anniversary, and this lady, I don't even know, I've never seen her before. She's all like, "Are you gonna open up a raw group in Abilene, Texas, right?" And I'm just like, "And no disrespect against the raw group, right? I love that group." I was like, "No, why?" And she's like, "Well, you guys ain't about the literature." I said, my home group's literature based, right? There ain't never been no other undertone in my home group, right? And so like the fifth tradition, and I love this tradition because it gives me purpose. Mm-hmm. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm pretty sure you guys were in the same boat as me, I had no purpose when I got here, right? Actually, you guys were harboring a fugitive when I got here. You know, I can say that now. For a long time, I didn't share that with nobody because I just thought you guys were a bunch of tricks and snitches in here, you know? And I was hiding out, too. I was like, man, the moment I tell them, they're going to come get me, you know? And so anyways, with this tradition, I get to get a purpose, and it says for each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. That's it, right? Another part of the literature in the basic text, our primary purpose is to stay clean just for today and carry the message to the addict who still suffers, right? But the group's responsibility, the group is the most powerful vehicle for the message to be carried, right? So if I'm in there, And traditions are on me. I learned that. I used to beat up people with traditions. I walk in there, and if you were sharing some sideways shit, I did all that crazy stuff, right? And eventually, I have to be what I want to see in Narcotics Anonymous, you know? And so one of the greatest things I started doing was beating people up, because my overzealous nature and my passion will clout my message, right? I'm passionate. I love Narcotics Anonymous. Look, I'm like a NA fucking nerd up in here, you know? But none of it makes a damn if I'm not applying it in my personal life, you know? So that's the kind of stuff I got to get with. And so I like that popularity piece, man. You know, I got mixed emotions about a lot of stuff that goes on now, you know? And I was like, I was thinking about... I read the topic today, man. I don't like fucking myself all month and blah, blah, blah. I text the guy who asked me to share. I told him, what's the topic? He gave me this long-ass topic, right? And then, like, they butchered it. And no disrespect to Hackner, but they paraphrased it. Yeah. But the whole topic is good. I'm glad she started reading all of it, right? And so anyways, I get to this is out of the basic text page... 68, it said, what would happen if our groups had another primary purpose, right? We feel our message would be diluted and then lost. Tina was hitting on that. If we concentrate on making money, many might get rich. If we were a social club, we could find many friends and lovers. If we specialized in education, we'd end up with many smart addicts. If our specialty was medical health, many would get healthy. If our group's purpose were anything other than to carry the message, many would die and few would find recovery. Right? Many would die. I thank God that the group's message was an addict, any addict, right? And I was sharing with somebody yesterday, and I told them, because when I got to my home group, I looked at all the differences, and one was race. I was the only Mexican when I got there. That was it. You know, the disease of addiction told me these white boys and these black folks ain't gonna help you. They don't understand you, right? And then my substance was different. You know, you got it was either crack cocaine or methamphetamine. I'm a slow and low heroin guy, right? And so I get to Narcotics Anonymous, and there was people that had gratitude for what was going on in their life because they cared and shared with me the NA way. You know, no other way. They weren't inviting me to somewhere on Sunday. You know, they weren't telling me that I had to believe in this, I had to believe in that, I had to believe in this. They allowed me my own process to come to believe for myself. You know, and I'm forever grateful for that. You know, they weren't trying to tell me, well, let's go try out this over here, you know, where they're just focused on a substance, you know. Where over here, we're at a deeper level of emotions and feelings. I didn't know that when I got here, though. You know, I remember early on, they would be like, you know, Mike, how do you feel? And I'd be like, shit, with my hands, you know. Like, I couldn't tell you a feeling. I couldn't be like, I feel sad. I feel inferior. I had never worked before I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I can share that with you guys now, because there's productive members of society, right? Yeah. I think the news speaker was talking about all these degrees now in the rooms, and there is. There's a lot of degrees in the rooms, right? Thank God there wasn't back then. There was just a bunch of plumbers and oil field guys, you know, and roughnecks and shit. Now you got like these, and I'm one of them. I got a degree now because of that. But I never forget where I came from. So anyways, I got to get with the fact of what am I doing to maintain this atmosphere of recovery, right? Am I giving advice to the newcomer when they don't ask for it? And even when they ask for it, I tell them, are you ready to hear what the fuck I got to say? You know, are you ready for that? You know, you're inviting me into your life now. And I was thinking about it. My original clean day was in 05, and I would have been celebrating 14 years on Wednesday. But, you know, stuff happens, you know, and I celebrated 11 years. So I have enough experience because we don't just sit around here. We don't loiter with the intent to recover. We get busy. We do work in here, right? We do work. You know, one of the things that I don't like that's said in here is, oh, I'm one bad decision away from getting high. I'm not. I'm a string of bad decisions away from getting high. We've done some work. You know, we're getting better. She just shared about some progress. As soon as she said, I was like, that's progress like a motherfucker. You know, shit. You know, so anyways, I thank God that the message was to our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. That's the hit right there, you know. For me, that's the hit, to find a new way to live. Can I do that, you know? Because all that other stuff comes eventually. Yeah, I've been clean a little bit, so there ain't no desire to use, right? There ain't no mental obsession. That's why I thank God for the first step. The first step introduced me to all that, so I don't ever have to mess with it again. I like what you were saying, because just because I'm not using don't mean I'm not using. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm using a person, place, thing, idea, and I could run with that popularity piece. I don't... In my home group, I'm people like me, right? They like me, you know? Look at me. What is there not to like, you know? God damn, we clean up good around here, you know? And so anyways, a lot of times I used to use that popularity to sway a vote at a group conscience, right? We done invited the God of our understanding in, but I'm just like, all right, God, you can leave now. I got this, you know? And so I've been guilty of using that to make something go my way, like smoking, like vaping, you know? I was thinking about, we had moved a couple years ago. Greatest decision we've ever made. Right, greatest decision. Our group blew up, you know. But it's seen some bad times. You know, it's kind of like the same with what's going on in your own group, but an opposite thing, right? We moved, and the core members stopped coming, and my ass, I voted no against it. Only one. Anybody against? I'm like, I don't want to move. I'm emotionally attached to a building that my home group's been at. You know, it was the building that I did. What you see today is the first. I thank God for you guys, man. You guys made me. I know that. Narcotics Anonymous made me. Before, when I got here, I crawled out from under a shooting gallery and got clean. No work history, nothing. Nothing whatsoever, right? And so I was emotionally attached to a building, right? The building ain't the Hope Group. It's the members that are the Hope Group, right? So what's good for the group, it's usually good for the member. But Mike thinks he knows some stuff, right? Thinks he can rewrite the literature, you know, thinks he can use the literature to go his way. So I voted no. And then this is how self-righteous I can get and arrogant. I gave them 1 hour of my time at the new building, went over there, you know, was real sourpuss about it too, you know, helping them scrape some paint and stuff. And then when I was done, I was like, that's my hour, I'm gone. And went and hit out at another group, right? If I'm going to go to another group and I'm not participating over there, I'm just taking. At that point, I become a thief, and I'm an NA thief at that point. I'm just taking, right? Especially if I got experience. So anyways, I'm hiding out over there, and the group, there's this one man and this other lady, and they invited me back, and I go, and we went like from 20, because now we'll have like 60 people at our 8 o'clock. It's amazing. Right, because our primary purpose is to carry the message. Yeah. We're not to make money, you know, we that's ain't right, promoting nothing right, else. Right, you know, right. If we're having free functions and stuff, we're giving back to the fellowship, right? And it's they're seeing the full fruit of a labor of love, right? But they've seen some hard times. The chairperson would read he would still read, oh, look, I get goosebumps. He would still read all the readings, or even if there was four people there.
That's right.
So I came back to the home that's group, right. And I was like, man, it's jacked up around here, man. You know, but all we had to do was show up, right, and carry the message. I talked to my sponsor. He's like, you ready to start recovering instead of hiding out over there? He's like, were you even sharing over there? I was like, no, I just sat in the corner with my arms folded, you know, drinking up all the coffee and eating the cookies, you know, thinking I got this supreme recovery going on, you know. When that's like my sickest hour, you know. But if I ain't letting nobody in, Casey W., she passed away last year from cancer, died clean, gave us the greatest gift. She reached out to me and she called me and she's like, Mike, we need you. And I was like, no, you don't need me. Where's all the people that voted to move? Right, but this is how God works. That even though the core members dwindle away, guess what happened? New members arise.
Yep.
The new core members, the new generation. You know, at any given, I don't know where the shift came, but somewhere it came where I looked around and my 20-year guys and 30, you know, they weren't around as much. But I can see why they invested. They had a certain interest in an addict like me. You know, because now it's my turn, and I tell the guys, anything I share with you ain't original. I learned it from that guy. When I load up the car, I'm like, let's go, it was done for me. You know, it was exactly done for me. You know, my first sponsor, come on, let's go in the car. We travel, you know, visit various groups, go to conventions, mm-hmm. all that good stuff, mm-hmm. you know. So nothing I do, and I always tell the guys, nothing I do is original, Narcotics Anonymous. So that popularity piece, I gotta be careful. And then like there's a little saying I like to say. I say, social media acceptability does not equal recovery, especially in this day and age. When I got here in 05, there was shit. You were had to be balling to have one of these. Remember in 05? Shit. Now I see panhandlers with smartphones. You know? I'm just being real, right?
Yeah.
Asking for change. Like, you better get that square on there, because shit, I don't got no change no more. You know? So anyways, it's a whole new thing. And I'll get locked and loaded on that because I'm posting spiritual shit. Right? Let me see. There's a good meme. I'm going to see how many likes I can get from that. You know, and then when nobody likes it, I'm over here having a fit. Well, let me find something more spiritual, you know, to put. When I get locked in, and I've been locked in on that, man, I get really sick. Because I've forgot the work that I need to do, right? Or when I'm emotionally involved in a problem, you know, I want to force a solution, you know? But at that point, I'm not no longer in the powerful vehicle. I'm in Mike's fucking Pinto, you know, cruising around. I'm not in the powerful vehicle no more. You know, I'm not in that 6-4 Impala no more. I'm in some raggedy ass Pinto now, you know, which is Mike's, you know, and I got to get with that. I got to get with all that and stay vigilant about what's really going on. You know, am I doing the work? Am I participating in the group effort? You know, there's a part in the basic text that talks about when we stop participating in 12-step work, making meetings and being a service, our recovery stops. Mm-hmm. It says that, man. And people are always, because I'll be telling them, man, don't be doing that, man. Your recovery stops. Where's this shit? It says in the basic text. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe the basic text. You know, I believe in it. That's all. That's the only literature I've ever read, man. You know, there was a question in this Guiding Principles that asked a member, because once again, I gotta be careful what my message is. Have I been doing work? What's really going on? Am I trying to get a certain reaction from the message I'm carrying, right? And it says, as members, what is the message that I carry? What does it mean to me to carry a clear NA message, right? Am I carrying a clear NA? Am I sharing my experience? The best shit I tell, I tell my guys, I don't know, but my sponsor knows. I got one thing I got is good active listening at the home group, or there's two groups in Abilene, right? And I know who's been through stuff in my area, and where to send my guys, cause I don't know. I ain't never been married, I ain't never been divorced, I still got both my parents, you know. So if that happens, cause that's the kind of stuff that happens around here. I know where to send the guys I sponsor. You know, rather than, because my opinion or theory might kill them.
That's right.
You know, my opinion or theory might kill them, man. And I gotta stay real aware of that. Years ago, I wrote and I like the principles, because for tradition 5, it said, I have integrity, responsibility, unity, and anonymity, fidelity. I know what infidelity is. It's fidelity, right? You know, my first sponsor told me, after the fifth tradition, the traditions that are after that protect the fifth tradition, right? Like the sixth tradition. We don't want no outside stuff. Don't bring it. I told you there's no undertones in my home group, because when they try to bring it in, we approach them after in a loving, caring way. Who's your sponsor? Do you have a sponsor? Man, maybe you know, where's your home group? Well, you know, I don't know yet. I'm, you know. Well, and then we encourage them. We don't tell them, don't bring that shit in here. We don't like that mess. No, we tell, well, pick a side, man. You know, get some roots somewhere. That's what you need to do. Because if you're over here, then you're unrooting yourself and coming over here. Like, pick one and grow. You know, ain't no right one. You know. Just pick one and stick with it. You know, stick with it. Get your sponsor over there. You know, if you like here, come here. Get your sponsor here and get with the lingo. I'll tell them. I don't tell them, you know, don't be saying profanity in here, you know, the S word and the other A word and all that stuff, you know. Because it was real harsh like that when I got it. My first sponsor, he'd pull you outside and be like, man, don't be bringing that liquid message over here, you know? And then he was a little white boy, almost got his ass kicked a lot of times, you know? But he believed in our literature. He believed in our program, you know? But I believe that honesty without compassion is cruelty. There's a way, if I'm applying these traditions in my life, right? There's a way I should be carrying myself if I've done some work around here. You know, nothing about this program calls for me to be rigid whatsoever. I just told you I'm very passionate, but I'm overzealous too. You know, I'm an NA fanatic, got the banner and everything. Shh, you know, what it look like if I'm road raging and I get busted and I got an NA shirt on? You see, I don't wear them. You know, what would that look like? I've seen it in my town. I've seen it in my town. Like, damn, look at that. Look at that. Yeah, good looking out there. Attraction rather than promotion. You know? So, and I'm going to go back to the basic text. The purpose of this tradition is to ensure that this atmosphere recovery is maintained. This can only be achieved by keeping our groups recovery orientated, right? My home group, that's the chairperson's job, right? I ain't seen the chairperson shut anybody down in a long time, right? It used to happen, like, excuse me, you know, we don't share about that in here. You know, it's been a real long time, you know, because also the members have gotten involved, right? It talks about sponsorship being the responsibility of the group, mm-hmm. You know? And I just told you how we approach them now. Like, hey, well, you know, what's going on? And if I'm an attraction, if I'm doing what I'm sharing about, right? And not worried about the popularity, because for a long time, man, I'm gonna tell you, for a long time I shared about this shit and I had no daily application in my life. Right, I'm talking about walking around here with untreated disease, man. You know, my sponsor is Abe, man, and he always shares it with me. This is out 211, and this is out of the personal stories, but I found out where he got it from. It says, today I believe that a person who is clean and has not worked the steps can possibly be more dangerous than someone using, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about not having, like, N.A. parrot, just a straight up N.A. parrot, because I want the attaboy. I want you guys to accept me. I wanted you guys to love me. This was not the last house on the block. It was the only house on the block, man. And for a long time, you guys weren't telling me, get out of here. You know, don't come back. Next time you come over here, we're calling the cops on you. Next time we come over here, we're going to smoke you, you know, or beat you down. That wasn't happening. So I wanted to impress you guys. And how else was I able to impress you guys, man, by quoting the literature? You know, trying to get them brownie points for popularity, right? Having people pat me on the back and say, man, that was a good share, you know? Mm-hmm. For a long time, I sat in the meeting, couldn't hear the message. You know why? I got a dialogue. I got to get my dialogue together, man, in my head. Didn't hear the message. Gone, over my head. Hey, did you hear what I shared? Yeah, what'd you say? You know, over my head, man. Can't even be in the recovery process, right? Can't even participate in the life flow, because there's a life flow that happens in Narcotics Anonymous. Right? Where our spirit, you know, this is where our spirits, there's a synergy, you know? And there's also that certain something that Tina talked about in the first step. That certain something that will grip onto that popularity piece, man, and not allow me to grow. You know, that certain something that'll tell me it's okay to mimic, you know, N.A. Parrot. It's okay to go up there. Man, I don't listen to speaker tapes no more. My first clean date, I used to do that. I would listen to a speaker tape, you know, and then go up in the home group and mimic it, you know. sounding like Mustafa G and shit, you know. Like, shit, you know. Insanity at its best, but all because there's a lack of something going on, that certain something, man, that I couldn't get with, or that popularity piece. I just wanted love and acceptance, man. That's all I wanted, you know. And for a long time, it was happening finally, you know. And I didn't want to lose it, but I ended up losing it because I didn't do the work, You know, I didn't do the work, man. It says, unity of action and purpose makes possible what seemed impossible for us. Recovery. You know what that tells me? It's going to take all of us, man. It's going to take all of us. Not just one person, not one person. Yeah, there's strong personality. I'm a strong personality in my area, man. But I learned how to tone it down. Right? I learned to let people, man, I stepped down. I did activities. We have a big anniversary at my home group, right? It's like, it's not as big as Miracles and Solutions, but it probably is as big as Miracles and Solutions, right? We just don't have it at a hotel. So we have this festival, and I've been doing it for a couple years, man, you know? So I had to get with the spirit of rotation, but every time we would bolt somebody in, the group, one of the hardest positions at my home group is activities. You gotta plan the activity, you gotta pick the speakers. You know, God forbid you get a speaker with a mixed message, you're gonna get it at group conscience, you know, all that stuff, man, and I've been through all that. I used to catch a lot of slack because I used to scream my speakers. I'll tell them, like, who's your sponsor? What step you on? Where's your home group? When's the last time you got with your, I'll screen them, right? Because I made the mistake. I invited somebody that was popular in my area, and they went up there and just said whatever the hell they want. They had all this whole crazy-ass message, right? And so anyways, now we found somebody to replace me, and we had our camp out this summer. And so there I go, you know, trying to micromanage shit. And then it hit me. Sit your fucking punk ass down, Mike. Let the next wave come up. Let them get it. They know how to barbecue. You know, I think because I've been running the pit all these years, they're the only ones, or I'm the only one that can do that. You know, I was like, and I sat down. I let them, you know what? I enjoyed that. I finally got to go to a function and enjoy it. Our anniversary is November 1st and 2nd. Another function, I'm going to go sit my ass down, buy a shirt, listen to speakers, eat some barbecue, and just chill out, man. Yeah. You know, that's it, you know. That's all I ever have to do. I just got to get what's going on in the realm of the spirit in here, man, you know. Man, it's a good day to be clean, man. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing.